Let us worship God this morning, singing a psalm, number 116. 116, and we sing verses 1 to 6. I love the Lord, because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. Psalm 116, and we sing verses 1 to 6.
I love the Lord.
Join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, our great and holy God, we pray that in the singing of that psalm we would be expressing the true affection of our own hearts. The psalmist affirms that he loves the Lord because God has heard his cry and blessed him in so many different ways. And we pray that as we approach the throne of grace again this morning, that our hearts would go out in love to him who has first of all loved us. We recognise, Lord, that the greatest of all the commandments is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. And only then the second commandment comes, as we are to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. We pray, O God, that we would not put the second commandment before the first, and in putting the first in its proper place, that we would not ignore the second. We recognise, Heavenly Father, that love to our fellow men, love to sinners, and especially love to the saints, is one of the marks of a true affection and a true love to God. How can the love of God be in us, the scripture asks, if we see our brother in need and close up our hearts and close up our hands against him? Let us not love in word only, but in deed, in practice and in truth. And so, our gracious God, we pray that our approach in worship this morning would not be simply hypocrisy, that it would not be a blasphemy, that it would not be arousing the anger of God, but rather something that is pleasing in his sight and pleasing to him as he hears our prayers and our praises. And as we come to make our confession of sin and our confession of Jesus Christ as our Lord, We pray, our Father in heaven, that we would remember that these great realities of the scriptures are meant for our good, meant for our joy in the Lord, and meant to encourage us to love him who is altogether lovely. And so we pray, first of all, that God's name would be hallowed, sanctified, set apart by us, that we would regard God's name as holy, to be treated with reverence, with a measure of reserve and respect, not over much on our lips, but only for the fitting occasions when it is right for us to use God's name. And we pray that we would remember that the world blasphemes constantly, carelessly kicking the name of the Lord around as though it were a trifling and a contemptuous thing. We pray that our speech would be with decorous behaviour and grace, and that, like our Lord Jesus Christ, only gracious things proceed out of our mouths. Help us, we pray, to honour God's name, recognising that God's name is the revelation of who he is and what he is, the great I am that I am, the Jehovah of Israel, the God of covenant mercies and faithfulness. And so we pray that God's name would be hallowed. We pray that God's kingdom would come. Always this is our prayer, O God. And down through the ages, the church has prayed constantly for this. And the kingdom of God has come in so many different ways and places, coming not in a manner that the world sees. The kingdom of God comes not with observation. Our Lord Jesus Christ has told us in his gospel. But it comes in the hearts of God's people, silently working like leaven in the dough, like the seed in the ground, unseen at first, and like that invisible influence of grace working in the hearts of sinners, transforming us, changing our attitudes and our affections and our priorities, changing our activities, changing our world view, where we begin to see the things that belong to the kingdom. We begin to think the way that Jesus Christ thought, and we begin to follow in his footsteps, because we become new men in Christ Jesus. We become Christianos, the ones who belong to Jesus Christ. And we pray that thy will would be done on earth as it is done in heaven. That will of God which is a mystery and yet is revealed in terms of what God prohibits us to do and what God commands us to do. We do not know God's secret will, but we do know God's revealed will in the law of God, in the general teaching of the scriptures, and in the gospel. The will of God is revealed. We can disobey God's will, not only in violating the commandments, but in violating the gospel also. And so the Apostle Paul reminds us that not all have believed the gospel, that message which we preach and which saves us as we hear it, as we continue to hear it, as we continue to be shaped by it. And so we pray that God's will would be done by us on the earth and accepted by us. Thy will be done, O God. We pray for daily bread, that we would be content with the provisions of life. As long as life is God's purpose for us in this world, we are confident that God will supply the needs. And when our life has run its purpose and course, and God's purpose for us in this world has ended, and our life draws to its close, we no longer need daily bread. But as long as we live, Heavenly Father, day by day, help us to pray and to depend upon God's good hand for our daily provisions, and recognize all the benefits, not only the bread that we eat, but all the other good things of life that make life possible and pleasant, healthy and happy. And we pray that we would give thanks to God and recognize that these good things are God's good hand toward us. We pray for forgiving hearts towards others. We pray for forgiveness for our own sins. We pray that we would be delivered away from the ways and the wiles of temptation, that we would always have a way of escape and recognize the choice before us and choose the good part. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be led in the paths of righteousness always, walking in that way that leads away from sin and leads to God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would remember always that unto God belongs the glory, the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. This is our prayer this morning, O God, our Heavenly Father, most high and most holy God. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, we read the first verses 1 to 30. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, I will give her her justice, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spoke this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Literally, the sinner. God be propitiated, be propitious to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. And so on. Amen. Now, the intimations this morning. We have, of course, our Wednesday meeting at 7 o'clock. And God willing, we shall gather together in the church this Wednesday, the 1st of July. We hope that the closure will come to an end, and God willing, we shall see each other again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. as usual. And then the services the next Lord's Day, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. God willing. We will be meeting in public also next Lord's Day. We pray that these things will process through smoothly and it will get back to normality. But it is always dependent upon the health considerations, and of course physical distancing will apply and other precautions. But we'll tell you all about that at the time. We welcome visitors always, of course, and those who are perhaps listening in for the first time to these broadcasts, then we welcome you to join with us, and we pray God's blessing upon you as upon ourselves. May I remind the Deacon's Court that we are due to meet as a court on Tuesday at 5:45. So Deacons, please note the Deacon's Court Tuesday at 5:45. I think that these are the notices. And we shall continue then to sing to God's praise and glory in Psalm 116. And we shall sing from verse 7. To verse number 12, verses 7 to 12. O thou my soul, do thou return unto thy quiet rest, for largely, lo, the Lord to thee his bounty hath expressed. 7 to 12, Psalm 116.
O thou